You're listening to JD and Tammy Rucker as we deliver the NOQ report, or as we like to call it, the NOQ report. So grab a cup of coffee, sit back, and enjoy.
There was a movie back in 2001, 2002, maybe a little later than that, called SWAT. This movie, it had a great premise. Okay, LA SWAT team is having to transport a criminal, very rich criminal, who said publicly that anybody who breaks him out is going to get like $100 million or something crazy like that. Had a great cast. Colin Farrell, Samuel L. Jackson, Michelle Rodriguez, a very young and relatively unknown Jeremy Renner. It could have been a good movie, but it wasn't. It was flawed. It tried to be an 80s movie, 80s style action with a little bit of a modern twist to it. It wasn't very good. But at the end, they just vanquished the bad guy and everything was hunky-dory, and they're getting back in their SWAT truck, and they're going to go, they've all been up for like 36 hours or something crazy. And so they're all going to go rest. And then a call comes in, and, they could just pass on the call for some kidnapping or hostage situation or something like that. But they start gearing up and they start moving forward. That is the mentality that we're starting to see, apparently, from the Trump team, the Trump campaign, as they've just had a horrible defeat, a defeat that, they should be in the White House right now. I think anyone who listens to this show knows that I'm not scared of saying that that there was massive voter fraud, and that this massive voter fraud very likely changed the results of the 2020 presidential election. Facebook will probably take this down, yada, yada, yada. YouTube already banned us. Twitter, Facebook, all that good stuff. They took us out. But it's okay, because we never really relied on them. Those are small pieces of our much bigger puzzle. We are now, we can be seen and heard, of course, on the standard podcast channels, Apple Podcast, where we desperately need more subscribers. If this is your first time, second time, 15th time listening to us, if you're not subscribed through Apple Podcast, please do so now. Pandora, all the others. Only Spotify, as far as we know, has banned us among the podcasting crews. But we're also on Freedom First Network. You can find us at freedomfirstnetwork.com. I've just redesigned the site, and we'll be adding more of our own content from NOQ Report to the site as quickly as possible. We are also very blessed to be part of Special Ops, Special Opinions. Good buddy Jerry McLaughlin's put together a nice combination of digital, terrestrial television, analog, if you will, as well as moving into crowd, one of those starts with a K. I think it's cloud TV, I believe. You can find OA in there, and you will soon, if not already, be able to find the NOQ report there as well, NOQreport.com. But we're not here to brag today. We're going to be talking about Trump, and here's a story that hit very early this morning on Monday, from Axios, a scoop. It says Trump to claim total control of GOP. In his first post-presidential appearance, Donald Trump plans to send the message next weekend that he is the Republicans' quote presumptive 2024 nominee, with a vice grip on the party's base. Top Trump allies tell Axios. A longtime advisor called Trump's speech a quote show of force, and said the message will be, I may not have Twitter or the Oval Office, but I'm still in charge. Payback is his chief obsession. And I like the way they put obsession. Let's call it mission. Let's call it, let's be realistic here. The GOP establishment, the Republican establishment, the swamp, they turned their backs immediately on Trump. The same people that rode on President Trump's coattails for the last 4 years suddenly turn their back once they've thought, okay, the coast is clear, the steel is in, the fix is done. We can safely anoint Joe Biden as president now. Let's turn our back on him. Let's embrace our never Trump tendencies and act like traders to the base. And we'll use this opportunity to try to educate those poor cult members, those poor Trump supporters that they were wrong and we were right all along. And it's okay to hop back into the Republican establishment, the rhino world of the Mitch McConnells and people like that. Fox News, Washington Examiner, Daily Caller. Don't listen to Knock Report or Gateway Pundit. Don't pay attention to the voter fraud. As a matter of fact, you're not even allowed to talk about voter fraud. You'll get your channels banned on YouTube, as we did, for even mentioning it, you know, because it didn't happen. You know, deny your lying eyes. They are wrong. Forget all the evidence. Yeah, mainstream media forgot about it. They didn't cover it. Big tech suppressed it. You should fall in line. This is what the Republican establishment has been saying to us, essentially, ever since Joe Biden's inauguration. And many of them were saying it before then. But we know the truth. We know who rightfully won the election. And as angry as we are, and there are still some of us out there who are still fighting to correct it. It's a long shot. I mean, it's been a long shot for a long time. We had our opportunity. We missed it because they slammed us with smoke screens, with lies, suppression. The cover-up of the voter fraud was arguably more complex and more widespread than the voter fraud itself. But here we are. Joe Biden has been in the Oval Office for 1 month. The damage is already being done. So do we just go sleep it off? Do we just become part of the resistance and, oh, we're just going to fight now? No, we have to prepare. And we have to take the call, as the SWAT team did at the end of the movie SWAT. We have to acknowledge that we were defeated. Unfairly, but still defeated. If we weren't, Joe Biden would not be in the Oval Office. But so we take the loss, unfair as it was, and we push forward. Now, this isn't just about Trump's speech next weekend at CPAC. Isn't just about him saying, okay, I'm running again in 2024, and here we go, you know, get ready. He's going to be making moves throughout. Let's continue on with the Axios story. Axios has learned that Trump advisors will meet with him at Mar-a-Lago this week to plan his next political moves and to set up the machinery for kingmaking in the 2022 midterms. Trump is expected to stoke primary challenges for some of those who have crossed him and shower money and endorsements on the Trumpiest candidates. Oh, Axios and their biased reporting. State-level officials, fresh off censuring Trump critics, stand ready to back him up. Now, they put their little segment, Why It Matters. Trump's speech Sunday at CPAC in Orlando is designed to show that he controls the party, whether or not he runs in 2024. His advisors argue that his power within the GOP runs deeper and broader than ever, and that no force can temper him. Quote, Trump effectively is the Republican Party, end quote, senior advisor Jason Miller told me. The only chasm is between Beltway insiders and grassroots Republicans around the country. When you attack President Trump, you're attacking the Republican grassroots. And that is, that's the best way to say it. You know, they still think, they being the Republican establishment, the swamp, the McConnellites, they still think, you know what? We've got 4 years. We can convince the people that they were wrong. We can convince the base that we're okay, that we're not as bad as Trump says, that we're right and he was wrong and they were wrong for supporting him, but it's okay. Just send us some checks and we'll let you back into our good graces. No, sir. No, we're not going to do that. You know, McConnell had the gall. This was reported by David J. Harris Jr. Over the weekend. McConnell and his National Republican Senatorial Committee, his super PAC that he allegedly doesn't control but has complete control over, they had the gall to actually fundraise, send out a fundraising email in President Trump's name. I'm not kidding you. I wish I had that story pulled up. It's infuriating, and it's true. They were like, hey, you know, Trump is finally clear of the impeachment, and now we got to support him by sending your money to the NRSC. Nope. nope, 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 nope. If you are giving your money to them, you are essentially sending your money to an organization that hates President Trump. Now, that's not to say everybody within the organization. Don't start looking at up the, I think the current chairman is like Rick Scott, and there's some decent Republicans in the group. And yes, their goal is to try to get incumbent Republican senators reelected and to get candidates who have a chance of beating Democrats to help them out. Now, the original purpose of the NRSC was righteous, but in recent years, it has turned into much more of McConnell's own, I guess you could call it, kingmaker. Okay, he uses it. He wields this power to keep control over the Republican caucus within the Senate, and also to determine who can be the right donors, who have the right access, the right special interest groups who have illegal access. Okay, I'm accusing him of McConnell and others at the NRSC of potentially breaking laws. And when I say accusation, this is not based upon any evidence. This is my personal belief. But I have seen anecdotal evidence that is the case, that basically it's not just a kingmaker organization, it's a gatekeeper organization. It's a way that mega donors can have indirect access to politicians that they want, how their special interest groups are able to lobby without officially lobbying. There's a lot of bad stuff that goes on with this group. And the most important thing for us to all remember is that they might fundraise off his name, but they do not generally support President Trump. Again, we're talking about the organization, the PAC itself, not the members. There are members that do, and there are members that don't. Obviously, Mitch McConnell does not support the president. The big picture, according to Axios, the few Republicans who have spoken ill of Trump since the election, and let's not few, okay? There's been plenty. There's been far too many, especially those who have turned their back on him for no reason at all, including Mitch McConnell. Okay, Trump was very kind to McConnell throughout his 4 years. He should have been a lot harsher with McConnell. He should have told McConnell to stuff it in 2018 when McConnell and Paul Ryan were there. Oh, hold off on the wall. You know, we'll do that after. If we push it forward now, we're going to lose probably the House and maybe even the Senate in the midterm elections. And let's just wait until after the elections. Then we'll push hard. Okay, we promise we'll get your wall built. He listened to them. He took them at face value, and they lied. They had no intentions, number one, of winning. Paul Ryan retired or announced his retirement knowing that he had no chance. He knew he had no chance of retaining the Speaker of the House position because he knew the Democrats were going to win it. How did he know? Because he helped them. This is a little known, okay, we'll call it an opinion. It's not a fact, but it's a pretty blatant and obvious perspective that one of the goals in their efforts to try to, quote unquote, save the GOP was to lose control of the House during the 2018 midterms. If they had gone with, you know, stuck to their guns, followed the agenda, followed the plan that President Trump had laid out, that plan that included building the wall, addressing the massive caravans that in the summer and fall of 2018 were heading up, and now they're heading up again from South and Central America. But I digress. Had they addressed that instead of ignoring it, instead of pretending like, oh, it's a terrible issue for us to talk about, President Trump's, no, we should talk about immigration. Many on President Trump's team was like, yeah, we should probably talk about illegal immigration. We should focus on the wall. And the Ryans and the McConnells are like, oh, no, don't do that. That'll hurt us. It's the opposite. They lied. They knew that had they addressed the issue, that there was a good chance they could retain control of the House of Representatives and maybe even make advances in the Senate. Instead, they threw it. Okay. They threw it because they felt that if they were to retain control, then they would have to, for their own self-protection, continue to do President Trump's agenda. And that meant going after, once again, Obamacare, which they have never wanted to do. They only pretended to want to do. They fundraised off Obamacare, but they never wanted to get rid of it. Okay, President Trump did. President Trump's supporters did. the Republican Party in general wanted Obamacare gone. But the Republicans on Capitol Hill, whether you think that some of them, most of them, a majority of them, it's your call. But at the time, they really didn't want it done. Okay, I'm digressing a little bit too far. But point being is that there were more than a few Republicans speaking out, and it's despicable. What's next? According to Axios, Trump's leadership PAC, Save America, has $75 million on hand, and he has a database of tens of millions of names. It's a good start. Good start. Many Trump confidants think he'll pretend to run, but ultimately pass. He knows the possibility or threat gives him leverage and attention. That may be true. Look, I don't know if he's really going to run in 2024. I don't think anybody does. I don't know if he does. We have to move forward pretending like he does. We have to think along those lines. Does that mean that we have to ignore any other potential candidates? I like Ron DeSantis. I like Kristi Noem. Okay. I was about to make a joke, but somebody will probably isolate it and say, oh, you know, I like, I'm not even going to say it. Some of the names that are going to be running, I like them. And I hope that if he doesn't run, that he endorses one of them or whoever else steps up, who's a true patriot, a true conservative, somebody who's focused on limited government, who's focused on making America great again. The MAGA movement, with or without Trump, has to push forward. It was an awakening amongst the independent and conservative bases. People that can embrace that concept, just as people on the left are embracing the identity politics, the cultural Marxism. We have our own variation. It's the exact opposite. It's about freedom, not restrictions. It's about equality, not equity of results. But we'll see. We'll see how it goes. It is too early to start making predictions. It's too early to know anything at all. Okay? We don't know how we're going to make it through 2021 yet. So we will see. And I'll be talking a lot more about that in the future segments. A Trump source said some Republicans have told him, if you endorse me, I'll run. But advisors say that's not how it'll work. This week's meeting will aim to tap the brakes. Instead, Trump is going to set up a formal process for vetting potential endorsees, including a requirement that they raise money and put together an organization. I see nothing wrong with that. What we're watching, according to Axios, Trump plans to argue in the CPAC speech that many of his predictions about President Biden are already coming true. And that is an indisputable fact. Everything that Trump was saying, and let's not call him prophetic. Okay, we were saying the same things. A lot of conservatives have been saying the same things from the beginning, long before voter fraud. We were like, look, if Biden gets in, then this is going to happen. We're going to be reengaging in the Iran deal, despite Iran poo-pooing all over them, which that's exactly what's happening. I predicted months ago that he will try to immediately back out of the Keystone XL pipeline deal, simply because, not because of environmental reasons, but because the money trail, the money, follow the money, they always say, the money leads back to his cronies. $15 minimum wage, he's pretending like that wasn't going to be something that he was going to really focus on. It's already on the table. It's already being done. He's already signaled that it's going to happen. It's going to destroy the economy. And I've talked about that in the past as well. So many of the things that President Trump and many of us predicted are already coming true, and we're a month in. As I said in an article yesterday talking about Biden, you know, the press hasn't talked about him much. And there's a reason for that. I encourage you to read that article. You know, why media treats Biden very differently from not only Trump, but also from Obama. There's no thrill up the legs of these leftists in journalism. They're trying to essentially ignore him. And there's a reason for that. So I encourage you to read that article. Look for Trump to lay into the swamp and Beltway insiders in a big way. And the Trump source said, much like 2016, we're taking on Washington again. And that is true. And that's a fight that I can back. Whether President Trump does run in 2024 or not, whatever his plans are, as long as he stays focused on fighting the status quo, as long as he stays focused on making America great again, he has my support. Okay. In whatever endeavors he puts forth. And he, you know, his options are wide open. I heard a report over the weekend that he has over $100 million promised in investments for him to build a new social media site. Kudos. Kudos to him. Go for it. You know, will it be an echo chamber? Yeah. Well, is that what we necessarily need? Maybe, maybe not. I think we already have some with Gab, to some extent with Parler. So we'll see how that goes. I would much rather, if he really wants to do something in that regard, I'd much rather he just help to mainstream Gab. Okay. Just hop on board. You know, you don't need to spend hundreds of millions of dollars to build something that's already built. Now, that's not to say that's the only solution. And I'll be talking about that later too. We actually have our own project that we're working on. We're very pleased to be working on that. But in the meantime, we will see what happens this weekend. President Trump could be resting today. Instead, he's going to go this weekend to speak at CPAC to take control of the GOP once again. There were question marks about whose GOP it was. People were trying to step up, especially Mitch McConnell. But he's a joke. Nobody will follow him. I shouldn't say nobody. There are still morons in the Republican Party who will say, oh, Mitch. Very few will follow him. And that's a good thing. He should not be followed. Sorry, Mitch. But once again, I digress. Let's the calls come in. Let's keep our SWAT gear on. Let's keep the fight pushing forward as it should. I'll be right back.
Can you smell it? It's your favorite freshly ground coffee brewing in your favorite cup. If you're anything like me or my family, coffee is essential for our mornings. And even more essential is good quality coffee. Well, Freedom First Coffee is our preferred choice. Made from organically grown beans from Mexico and Peru, they are then roasted here in the USA. So head on over to freedomfirstcoffee.com and choose our Founders Blend in medium or dark roast, ground or whole bean. That's freedomfirstcoffee.com. And make sure you use promo code NOCK, that's N-O-Q, for 10% off your order. And if you really want to be a freedom lover, choose a monthly subscription so you will never be without your morning joe. Again, that's freedomfirstcoffee.com.
Dr. Fauci, the politician with a medical degree, says that Americans may still need to wear masks in 2022. Look, we're coming up on the one-year anniversary of 15 days to slow the spread, all right? It's been a lot longer than 15 days. We're coming up on 365 days very quickly. And that is, folks, that's ridiculous. That should not be the case, but it is. So I turn not to Dr. Fauci, and there's going to be this article from Twitchy. Has a lot of great quotes from various people, but I want to start with an incredible quote that actually came in this morning after the story was written, or I'm sure it would have been highlighted in the Twitchy story. It says, this is from Thomas Massey, representative out of Kentucky. It says, once you realize the personal ethical standards of policymakers like Dr. Fauci and many of those at the CDC lead them to comfortably misrepresent scientific data in order to achieve public policy goals, it is not just your prerogative to question their science. It is your duty. Amen, brother, to that. That is exactly 100% correct. We are duty bound as Americans. And there's actually two duties here. So as Americans, we're duty bound to oppose and to question the authorities when they're doing wrong. And listen, Anthony Fauci, if there's one thing that's consistent about him, it is his inconsistency. You know, you don't need a mask. Oh, wait, you need a mask. No, wait, you don't really need a mask. No, wait, you need four masks. Okay, never mind. You don't need four masks. I mean, that's literally the transition that he's made in less than a year in regards to one topic. And here's the problem is that he's consistent in that inconsistency across every topic. If it has to do with the coronavirus, okay? I mean, this guy is the most self-serving bureaucrat I think I've ever seen. Okay, and I've been watching some self-serving bureaucrats. Okay, Obama had some bad ones. Bush had some bad ones. Clinton had some horrible ones. Okay, these are people that every action they do is designed to benefit them, not us. There's some good bureaucrats too. Not a whole lot of them, but there have been some decent ones. Dr. Fauci is not a decent one. He's not even a bad one. He's a horrible one. I mean, he can be traced back in many ways to deaths. So the actual quote that that's referenced in Twitchy, he was on CNN talking to Dana Bash, who they love him and he loves them, and Dana loves Fauci and Fauci loves Bash. It's sad. She asked, "What does normal mean? Do you think Americans will still be wearing masks, for example, in 2022? Fauci replied, "You know, I think it is possible that's the case. And again, it really depends what you mean by normality. Depends on what is. Patriots responded. Liz Wheeler said, "Raise your hand if you won't be wearing a mask in 2022, no matter what King Fauci says." Hand shooting up for those who can't see the video. Amber Athey, I hope I'm pronouncing her name right. How about go screw yourself? Well said. Carmine Sabia, my good friend, not wearing a mask after the vaccine. Not wearing a mask after the vaccine. I'm not going to wear a mask before the vaccine unless I absolutely need to. Now, I'll do it. Listen, I'm not one of those guys that's going to go berate some lady at a grocery store, you know, because she's telling me to wear a mask. I'll put on a mask for the sake of non-conflict, okay? Because I still believe in the primacy of our individual rights, not just as people, but also the rights of business owners to say you must wear a mask. If I'm going to shop at a place and their owners say you must wear a mask, I'll wear a mask, even if it's dumb. It was dumb yesterday. We were eating out, outdoor dining, of course. Go figure, out here in California, but finally open. So we went and had to consolidate two birthday dinners because one birthday happened when we couldn't go out to eat. So now that we can go out to eat, we're consolidating. We almost went ahead and consolidated a third one for later this year, but we're hopeful that things will be somewhat sane here eventually in California. But it was hilarious. You know, we have to wear a mask from the door to the seat, and then from the seat to the door. But while we're at the table, you don't have to wear a mask. I just, whatever. I don't understand it. Lisa Booth says, "Has any government official done more damage to a country than Dr. Fauci?" The answer to that is yes. Okay. But not a lot of them. He's done his fair share. Jordan Schachtel, who I greatly respect and who will be writing. I will be getting his Substack writings over on Knock Report very soon. He says, "As Fauci demonstrates here, you can't get COVID-19 when the camera's turned off. Follow the science." And it's a video. I think everybody's probably seen it. But, you know, cameras are going, videos are going. And Fauci's standing there with his mask on, you know, looking around with his mask. And then as soon as the moment that the cameras turn off and people start, you know, walking away, putting up their cameras, of course, Dr. Fauci rips the mask down and just starts, you know, it's all for show. It's all BS. At what point, this according to Twitchy, at what point do they lock Dr. Fauci up back inside his lab and hire a real spokesman? They won't, okay? And this is a misunderstanding of how the bureaucracy works. It's not as easy as people say or think. Well, let's be clear. So many think that it's harder than it really is for a president to get rid of somebody. Others say that it's pretty easy. They're both kind of right. It depends upon the perspective. Should Trump have gotten rid of Fauci? I think so. And if it wasn't an election year, he probably would have. But I mean, man, when he did well, they were against him. When he did a little bit bad, you know, a little bit controversial, they were against him. So the way that his team figured it, they might as well keep the guy around, keep him leashed if they could, but keep him around because the blowback would have been harsh because they propped him up on the same pedestal. They propped up Dr. Fauci, and they being the media, propped up Dr. Fauci on the same pedestal. They put Gavin Newsom and Andrew Cuomo. You know, these guys know, okay, about COVID-19. You know, whereas President Trump, he's just taking hydroxychloroquine, you know, taking, I think Chris, was it Neil Cavuto? It's like, he's literally killing people. It's like, really? Give me a break. Give me a break, man. It's no. And now we know. Even the CDC is saying, hey, now that we're allowed to look at the studies, yep, hydroxychloroquine seems to work. Whatever. Noam Bloom says, I'm sorry, Fauci, but hurry up and get vaccinated so that we can return to some degree of normalcy in 8 to 10 months, maybe. That's not going to cut it. And if that's the best you can do, hire an effing spokesperson to go on CNN and do a better job. Yeah. Other than the colorful language, I wholeheartedly agree. What does all this mean? I mean, what can we do? Serious question. What can we do? I don't have an answer to this one. We've tried, or at least we think we've tried. The arguments for maintaining these protocols, social distancing, face masks, 25% capacity. I mean, at what point can we say that the logic and the science are no longer working? We're at that point, obviously. The logic isn't working. It's not breaking through. It's not breaking through the hearts and minds of, what, half the country? They refuse to see. Number one, the masks, the efficacy is questionable. You look and you compare the numbers between California with draconian mask mandates and Florida, similar weather patterns, a little bit more humid, but no mask mandates. You compare the two, there doesn't seem to be a difference. If anything, California's numbers are going up faster. Why is that? Nobody's asking those. I mean, I shouldn't say nobody. A lot of people are asking those questions, but that half the country that refuses to see it, they won't ask the questions. They just get mad if you're not wearing a mask. You try to hit them with logic. You try to hit them with facts. You try to hit them with science. Nothing seems to be penetrating. We're facing a great delusion with this. I would say very potentially a supernatural delusion, because I can't get anybody, any of my family members, if they believe in masking, then by golly, you got to wear a mask if you go to their house. Get the vaccine? Nope, still got to wear a mask. Why? Well, because Fauci says. We don't know if the vaccine's going to work. It hasn't been tested. So why is it being administered? Well, because we need a vaccine. The reasoning just isn't there. The science. Science isn't there. We've had doctors coming out and talking about real solutions, talking about trying to relieve the fear. Tomorrow, I will be interviewing one such doctor, Dr. Marilyn Singleton. It's going to be fun. But, I mean, what do? We've tried to get the word out. We've thrown facts at people. They still, I've got into more arguments over the flu, okay? In 2019 and 2020, and I talked about this last week, but 2019 to 2020, there were 400,000 cases during flu season, okay? One flu season, 400,000 cases, 22,000 deaths. This flu season, which is now coming to an end, had a total of 165 hospitalized flu cases. That's a lie. Okay, period. That's a lie. That didn't happen. That's not true. That's just not true. You say, oh, but the kids are out of school. Okay, great. I can see a reduction. Yeah, more people are wearing masks and social distancing. Great. I can see a reduction. If they were to say, you know what, it dropped down to 50,000 or 100,000, I could almost buy that. To drop down to 165, not true. Flat out lie. Anybody who knows anything about how influenza works, how these viruses work, a disease that is nearly as contagious as COVID-19 suddenly disappears inexplicably. Oh, I shouldn't say inexplicably. They're giving out those reasons. No school, kids put it out there with their snotty noses and people wearing masks and not going out as much. That's what reduced it. If that actually worked, if any of this stuff actually worked, we would have seen a dramatic decline since the summer of COVID-19. We did not. We saw spikes here and there. Or did we? But again, you can't get people to ask these questions. Half the country refuses to ask the questions, let alone listen to the right answers. They're listening to this guy, Dr. Fauci. Bugs me. Bugs me to death. Let's get to some good news. I've been talking about a lot of bad news lately because, well, let's face it, a lot of things are bad. But here's something from a man that I greatly respect. Haven't spoken to him directly, only via Twitter DMs from time to time. But Mr. Dinesh D'Souza, the wonderful filmmaker, patriot, conservative, brilliant man, he has an idea. And you know what? When these ideas come across, a lot of times I try to poke holes in them. I do. I mean, I'm not trying to be a jerk here, but I look at an idea and I want to find out what's wrong with it. I looked at this idea. I don't see anything wrong with it. Nothing. It seems great. Okay. According to Just the News, he was interviewed by John Solomon, another person who I've never spoken to, but who I greatly respect. According to this article, $5,000 online college program would crush liberal hold on higher education. He says conservatives need to create our own America inside of America. I like it. I like it. But let me read you part of the article. Let me get a drink of some Freedom First coffee first. That's good stuff. Founders Blend. FreedomFirstCoffee.com, promo code NOCK. Remember that, N-O-Q. Dinesh D'Souza is proposing an alternative online university system with a $5,000 yearly tuition, saying it would crush liberals' hold over higher education. The famed producer and author told the John Solomon Reports podcast this weekend that the new college system should be part of conservatives' efforts to defeat cancel culture and censorship by building their own educational and entertainment infrastructures. Here's a few quotes from D'Souza. With regard to digital media and media generally, I mean, we have to build our own platform. So I'm very much in the camp that says that at least in the short term, we need to build an alternative educational infrastructure, entertainment infrastructure. We need our own comedians. We need the whole thing. We need our own America inside of America. He says, we basically need an online university that has assembled together the 100 top teachers and scholars in the world that will offer a Harvard-level education for $5,000 a year. If you did that, you would make all of higher education obsolete overnight. I mean, the universities wouldn't go away, but it's kind of like when the iPhone first came out. Suddenly, all of their phones were obsolete. We can do that for education. We can do that for media. You just have to make the right moves. And he is correct here. So I haven't ran the numbers or done a deep dive into the $5,000 number. Is it possible? Because you can get, you know, more people into a classroom, a virtual classroom, than just a lecture hall, you know, not having to focus on the physical infrastructure of a college. You wouldn't have to hire nearly as much staff. You wouldn't have to subsidize housing or anything like that. There's a lot of reasons to think that he is correct. I don't know if the $5,000 number is legitimate. I don't know if it's accurate, but it's probably at least close to being right. Now, let me give you one caveat. In the era of COVID-19, the push for virtual schools, you know, keeping kids out of school. I'm talking about K through 12, keeping kids home for that. That obviously I disagree with. That's ridiculous. This is the formative years where kids are able to develop their social skills. Okay, school isn't just about learning your ABCs and 1, 2, 3s. It is about interaction. It's a valuable and necessary aspect of human existence. We cannot have people going out into the world as young adults, having never properly interacted on a regular basis with their classmates, with people of their own age. I'm actually a big fan of classes that are multi-age. That's a whole other discussion, which we can talk about some of the time, maybe post-COVID. We can talk about some of the educational studies that I've done myself on how we can fix the system and make it better for America, but also for the world. There are models that have that can be used, that can be combined. And can online school, digital school, virtual school, whatever you want to call it, can that play a partial role in it? Absolutely. I do think that that can and should be a consideration. But when it comes to college, when it comes to taking adults and furthering their education, giving people the tools necessary, a partial version of online college. And in some cases, you could say full, okay? So like, for example, you know, somebody wants to be an accountant. I see no reason to force them to go to an accounting office, you know, and for practical studies there. They can learn everything about accounting from their computer. And the vast majority of their work is going to be on the computer, okay? Computer programming. You don't need to be in a classroom to learn computer programming. Doctors. Yeah, you need doctors to actually go be doctors, okay, or nurses, or anybody in the, you know, in most medical fields. They actually do need practical in-person experience, practice. They need to be working around people for something like that. So I don't think you can replace all of the medical degrees with virtual degrees. I wouldn't want a doctor operating on me who learned everything he knows or she knows about surgery by playing on their Mac. But a lot of degrees can be handled this way. And I wholeheartedly agree with the need for us to not only be pushing this as a possibility, but more importantly, to be focusing on it from a free speech perspective. There's one thing that's bad about college. Well, there's a lot of things bad about college, but one really bad thing about college is the fact that they have become indoctrination centers. You send your kids off to college, they're going to be bombarded by anti-conservative, anti-Christian, and in many ways, anti-American beliefs. Where do the social justice warriors come from? College. Are they pushed in this direction in high school or even junior high? Sure, yeah, they are. We're seeing it in elementary school now. We're seeing budding social justice warriors being educated in our public elementary schools, which is why we don't send our kids to school. We are blessed with, I am blessed with a wife who is very good at homeschooling. And we are blessed with the ability for her to have the time and the desire and the resources to be able to do that. Yeah. I've had 4 kids. One of them had a nice hybrid homeschool, private school, public school, and the public school years were the worst. So next kid gets all pretty much homeschool straight to private school. That was better. That was better. Third kid, you know, it's all, you know, short stint in private school, almost entirely homeschooled now. And then the fourth kid is, I'm certain, yeah, going to be completely homeschooled. But I know that's not for everybody. I know that we can't, you know, say, oh, you should just homeschool all your kids. That's not always that easy, okay? Still have to make a living. We still have to operate in society, and sometimes we just don't have the resources. I don't begrudge anybody who doesn't homeschool. I just wish them more of us would, because we would make better adults out of children if we did homeschool them, and then perhaps send them off. You know, and by the way, you know, I'd mention, you just said earlier that you know, kids need interaction. Absolutely. I'm not saying homeschool is keep them cooped up and don't let them go do anything else. You get them involved in daily extracurricular activities outside of school. Okay. With that said, let's continue with what D'Souza is saying about colleges. He says, I think that the money's there and the will exists to do it. It's just that our side is very erratic and there hasn't been the creativity on the supply side to create these things. I mean, just think, for example, of the amount of creativity it took for Roger Ailes to go to Rupert Murdoch and just say, listen, you know, all these cable channels are fighting for half the country. Geez, why don't we start one? Make it a real thing. We'll offer a rival point of view. We'll take the other half of the country. It's so simple, D'Souza continued. I mean, for decades before that, you know, all we did, our side, did was, you know, complain about media documents, the media bias. A document, the media bias. Oh, it's all so biased. We're going to give the bias award to, you know, who cares? Do you own things? Do your own thing and build your own, you know, mousetrap. And that's really what Roger Ailes did. And that's been my model for the world of documentaries and even feature films in Hollywood. That should be the model for education. That should be the model for everything. For complete transparency, I'm working with a group of people who we are building out, you know, we're in the early stages of building out what he's describing here. So is it self-serving to say, hey, this is a great idea? Yeah, it is. But that doesn't mean it's not a great idea. It is a great idea. Kudos to Mr. D'Souza for getting this type of information out there. We can't just give up. We can't just submit to the left. They control media. They control big tech in Silicon Valley. They control the education system. They control Hollywood. Can we fight back within the structures that they've already built? No, we can't. I'm sorry, but we can't. If we're going to play by their rules, we will lose. They have tilted the game in all four of those venues, tilted it to where there is no success possible if we stay in their worlds, if we stay in their realms. When he says we need to build an America inside of America, he's absolutely correct. He's absolutely correct. So we shall see. We shall see what comes of perhaps, you know what? Maybe if you're listening to this, I know that you're an avid listener to the show. If you're listening to this, please reach out, because we're putting together a team. So sure, use your help there, buddy. We'll be right back.
Can you smell it? It's your favorite freshly ground coffee brewing in your favorite cup. If you're anything like me or my family, coffee is essential for our mornings. And even more essential is good quality coffee. Well, Freedom First Coffee is our preferred choice. Made from organically grown beans from Mexico and Peru, they're then roasted here in the USA. So head on over to freedomfirstcoffee.com and choose our founder's blend in medium or dark roast, ground or whole bean. That's freedomfirstcoffee.com. And make sure you use promo code NOCK, that's N-O-Q, for 10% off your order. And if you really want to be a freedom lover, choose a monthly subscription so you will never be without your morning joe. Again, that's freedomfirstcoffee.com.
All right, last story of the day. This next story comes from the Daily Wire. Sheriffs can arrest feds who violate citizens' gun rights. new Missouri County ordinance says. Oh, man. You know, I lived in Missouri. I like Missouri a lot. I don't think I'll ever go back, but I do wish when I see stuff like this, I do wish that this kind of stuff would spread out west, out here to California. One Missouri county concerned that the federal government might infringe on the Second Amendment rights of its citizens passed an ordinance this month, which would invalidate any such attempt by the federal government. The Second Amendment Preservation Act of Newton County, Missouri states, and here's what it says, be it enacted by the Newton County, Missouri Commission as follows, all federal acts, laws, orders, rules, and regulations passed by the federal government, and specifically any presidential administration, whether past, present, or future, which infringe on the people's rights to keep and bear arms as guaranteed by the Second Amendment of the United States and Article 1, Section 23 of the Missouri Constitution, shall be invalid in the county, shall not be recognized by this county, and specifically rejected by this county, and shall be considered null and void and of no effect in this county. Such acts, laws, orders, rules, and regulations include but are not limited to any tax levy, fee, or stamp imposed on firearms, firearm accessories, or ammunition not common to all other goods and services. Any registration or trafficking of firearms, firearm accessories, or ammunition, any act ordering the confiscation of firearms, firearm accessories, or ammunition, and finally, any act, whether past, present, or future, passed by the United States Congress and signed into law by the federal government, and specifically any presidential administration, which infringes on the people's right to keep and bear arms in Newton County, Missouri, shall be considered null and void by the county and not recognized by this county. One of the beautiful things about limited government federalism is that there is recourse set aside. Our founders were brilliant in the way that they crafted the amendments, in the way that they crafted the Constitution, because they allowed for specific powers to be held by the federal branches of government, the legislative branch, the executive branch, the judicial branch, as well as what powers should be held by the states. Now, our constitutional rights, including the Second Amendment, they are supreme. The only higher authority is the Bible. And that's obviously only for those of us who believe in the Bible. But even then, if you hold the Constitution as the highest authority in the land, then anyone, it doesn't have to be a county, it doesn't have to be a city or a state, it can be an individual who, by invoking our rights within the Constitution, protected by the Constitution, I shouldn't say within the Constitution, our rights are our rights, period. The Constitution protects us from government intervention into our rights. We as Americans, we as humans, have the right to keep and bear arms. We have the right to defend ourselves. Even if we never do, okay? Again, this is the right to keep and bear. Doesn't mean we have to go out and form a militia in order to maintain this right. I love what this county's doing. Let's see. The law adds, any and all federal agents trying to enforce the regulations listed in Section 1 shall be subject to arrest by the Sheriff's Department. There's the fun stuff. Daniel Horowitz of The Blaze wrote, the Second Amendment sanctuary movement has been growing throughout the country, with hundreds of counties passing some form of a declaration protecting gun rights from encroachment perpetrated by higher levels of government. The sanctuary movement has only recently come to the state of Missouri, with several counties recently declaring themselves Second Amendment sanctuaries and the state legislature pushing similar bills. But Newton County might have adopted the strongest language in the entire country, going so far as to criminalize enforcement or cooperation with federal law enforcement who seeks to enforce such policies. Folks, it's always been about the first two amendments as far as where will the dominoes fall? It's one or the other. Okay. And the thing is, they protect each other. Our First Amendment rights, I should say, freedom of speech, freedom of the press, freedom of religion, they are protected by our ability to defend ourselves from encroachment through the Second Amendment. And conversely, our First Amendment rights protect the Second Amendment. With those two, there's a reason why they're the first two. Those two determine our abilities to maintain, as individuals, as American citizens, all of our rights, constitutionally guaranteed. But with those first two, that puts, I guess you could call it, enforcement of our own rights in the hands of multiple layers of government. It's not just everything that has to be decreed from D.C. The states do have powers. The counties within the states have powers. The cities within the counties have powers. In some cases, the communities within the cities have powers. And yes, we as individuals within these communities also have powers. These are powers that are given to us by God in many cases. These are powers that are guaranteed by the Constitution. We have to remember these. Our nation has become way too dependent on government to tell us what to do. Part of the entire progressive movement is about establishing authoritarianism, about making more rules, more laws, more edicts. So as conservatives, as patriots, as Americans, as anybody, you don't have to be a self-proclaimed conservative or libertarian in order to appreciate this. You can be a moderate, center of the road person. But as long as you do embrace the Constitution, as long as you do embrace a love for America and a desire to preserve our individual rights and things like this, that shouldn't bother you. You should support this. Support this in your local community. Be pushing for it. Because, listen, there's always going to be a narrative against guns, just as there's always going to be a narrative against freedom of speech, against freedom of religion. There's always going to be a pushback, usually from the left, but not always. There will be a pushback against these rights because part of human nature is wanting structure. But sometimes, especially in modern society, the desire for structure is somewhat inverted. People look at what happened in Seattle with the CHAZ, the CHOP, whatever it was called. And they say, oh my gosh, that's anarcho-communism. That's anti-authoritarianism. We should embrace that. No, that wasn't true. It was anarcho-communism, but it was anarcho-communism with a totalitarian regime over top of it. It was a police state. This was a little mini police state. Was everybody just free to do whatever they wanted? Yes, as long as they were doing whatever they were allowed to do by the self-proclaimed police in the state. You cannot push for freedoms by taking them away. And that's the fatal flaw in very many, if not all, leftist ideologies. It's the contradiction of, speech, hate speech is violence, except they can be very hateful with their speech and say that that's their right, which is true. Those are the questions that we need to answer. And hopefully this Missouri County statute will spread to other areas because they desperately need them. We desperately need them. Lord willing, I will be back very soon with another episode. But in the meantime, you guys stay strong, stay safe, and God bless.